On this, you know, it's a sad and happy edition of Our Town at the same time. We have a gentleman who has been with Coast Radio for many, many years, took a short break in between there, which allowed me to come back, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
But Bob Snedden is now officially retired at the airing of this program today, and we welcome him to the program. What's it like being on that side?
It's a little different. So it's sad because Mike, the public works director of City of Florence, is retiring, but happy because I'm retiring, right?
No, that's not it at all. You are definitely going to be someone who's missed around here for sure.
Oh, that's okay.
You grew up here.
Yes, I did. Absolutely.
Were you born here or were you born somewhere else?
I was born a small child here in Florence. Matter of fact, I was one of the first, in the first couple of years of Western Lane Hospital, which was over on 12th Street, one of the first kids born in there.
Really?
Back in 1957, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all know, those of us who have moved here later on in life, or those who have not been here, we know the Florence we know.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the Florence you know.
Well, I mentioned the hospital because where Peace Harbor Hospital is now, that was just a little ways away from where I grew up, and that was our playground. It had been cleared back in the 50s. Somebody was going to build a church there, and what I understand. And so it was, vegetation was gone. It was just a sand blowout. Well, that was a great place for kids to go out and play army. And we had all kinds of trails through the bushes on the east side of where the hospital is now. And that was part of our playground.
I used to love playing army.
Yeah.
That was always a fun thing.
Oh, I also, in later years, friends of ours lived just out here north of where Bi-Mart is now. Bi-Mart was not there yet. That was just a little pole patch. We played army out there where Bi-Mart's parking lot is now.
My understanding is it's pretty much, well, of course, you had the hospital on 12th Street, but pretty much that's kind of where the city ended at the time.
My first memory of the city limits was just north of where Highway 36 came into town. And you go, wait a minute, Bob, that's 126. Well, they didn't change that part to 126 for several years, but that it was still Highway 36. So about where the Villa West Motel is, that was city limits.
Wow, so that was small.
Oh, it was quite small, and then it gradually moved out to about 15th Street. Well, 12th Street and then 15th Street and then on out to where, I don't even know where the city limit sign is out here in the north.
Now, 101 was probably two lane at the time,
it was two lanes. Well, it was four lanes through up to 12th Street.
Okay.
From the bridge to 12th Street. And it was in about 1988 that they built what I refer to as the Ditch of Doom out north, because it was two-lane highway from 12th Street on out of town with a drainage ditch on each side of the highway. It was about 88 that they put in four-lane with a refuge lane in the middle and put culverts in and got rid of the ditches. Yeah.
What was it like watching 15th Street to 35th Street develop over time? I imagine there wasn't a whole lot there early on.
There were a few houses out this way. I mean, where the...
Some of them are still near the road now.
Oh, yeah. There's still several of them out in the 35th Street area. But where the confederated tribes of the Coosa Lower Umpqua Icelandians, that was Windward Inn Restaurant. And that started off as the Bluebird Cafe back in the late 50s. And then it was Marie's Cafe. And then Van and Kathy Heater bought it in the late 60s and changed the name to the Windward Inn. And then added on to it quite a bit over the years. I worked there for several years at Windward Inn.
What was it like growing up and going to school here?
Everybody knew everybody. I mean, one thing, I went to school at where the old school furniture is. I went to third grade in that building. First and second grade, I was in the old primary that was up the top of the hill. One thing I can recall.
Now, you say the top of the hill. Is that where the bed and breakfast is or that the
no,
hotel?
No, FEC
is?
Parking lot.
Oh, the FEC parking lot.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the top of the hill.
The FEC.
That other hill, yeah.
The south parking lot was where the school was. Where the FEC is now was our playground. Hmm. But I can remember 1962. It was October 13th. I was in kindergarten. And at that time, kindergarten was, it was a private kindergarten run by Margaret Lorenz, and she did it in the basement of what is now the Lighthouse Church on Rhoda Drive, right across from Lighthouse Electric. And I got out about noon, and I stepped out. I remember stepping out at noon, and there's my two brothers, older brothers, standing on the sidewalk waiting for me. I didn't know what was going on. Well, they had let school out early because there was a big storm coming. It was a Columbus Day storm.
Hmm.
It was a big storm.
Wow.
Yeah.
So let everybody out early.
They let everybody out early. And listening to my dad, who was around the community at that time, obviously, the superintendent pulled the trigger a little bit late because they had some kids on school buses out Canary Road that wound up getting stranded because trees started coming down, and the bus got stranded out there, too, for a while. But they got through.
Yeah. So changes like you've got where Homegrown is now, what used to be the Ford dealership.
Originally that was not that was a glass shop for years and years. That's what I remember it as.
Okay. Yeah. And then down like on Bay Street there, the River Roasters, that was something different.
Bill's Auto Service. Yeah, the sign on the side of the building next to it. Bill Karnowski was quite a character. He drove school bus. He had his little shop down there. He also had an airplane. And the kids always knew that they saw Bill flying. If they could get to the airport, they more likely could get an airplane ride.
Wow. Yeah. Pretty cool. Did you ever get one?
Not from Bill. Oh. But he did take my mother up when she was about, 8 months and 3 weeks pregnant.
With you? Or
with, No. Okay, no. With my younger brother. Okay. That was back in 1964. She was due, or a little bit overdue, and I don't know, they cooked it up to take her for an airplane ride to see if they could induce labor. I'm not sure if it actually worked that day or not, but my little brother was born on August 25th.
Well, at least he wasn't born in the plane.
That's true. Yeah.
So you're in high school now. Let's go back to that. Yeah. And you're thinking about your future plans. What were you thinking in high school that you wanted to do?
Well, like,
because I'm guessing you didn't have this really planned.
Oh no, I didn't. I didn't have this planned, but I always kind of liked this sort of thing. I got infected with a photography bug my sophomore year. My brother, older brother Don, was graduating, and all of a sudden, the photography teacher and yearbook supervisor realized they didn't have a photographer for next year's yearbook, and that's what my brother Don had done the two previous years. So Don took me to the darkroom and gave me a crash course between he got out of school and graduation. He spent that week teaching me how to process black and white film and do all that stuff and run the camera. So I did that, and I really, really bit into photography for the next 2 years. I started getting recruitment letters from military in the winter of 1974-75, my senior year. And I told all of them, I said, don't even talk to me unless you can guarantee to get me a photography. And Army guy laughed at me. Air Force guy laughed at me. Navy guy, he finally called back and said, I do have a guaranteed billet for a photographer. So in February of 1975, my senior year, I signed a contract. And my mother was a little hesitant, but I was only 17.
Obviously concerned there on
football. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, the Vietnam War had officially ended 2 years before that, but there was still quite a bit of presence. I couldn't figure out why she seemed so happy in April of 1975. It was when Saigon fell. She wasn't happy about that, but she was happy about, okay, all that combat stuff is done. So yeah. I spent two and a half years on active duty.
And you did get your
billet? Yeah. I went to Florida for photography school. And I spent 2 years on Guam. Yeah.
And so has that been something that you've kept with you all these years?
Yeah, I do. There's been times I haven't paid.
Obviously, you don't need to process film anymore unless you want to.
Yeah. And you also don't have to worry about not taking your lens cover off.
There must be a story there?
Well, that was not that uncommon to forget to take your lens cover off, especially
because you're looking at the top viewfinder.
Well, if you had a viewfinder camera, yeah. If you had a single lens reflex, you would see the backside of the lens cover if you didn't take that off, which I had a couple of those. But yeah, so this one, I've always had an eye for it. But when I got out of the service, I decided I wanted to get into audio production. And I actually enrolled in Lane Community College in the radio production. I was driving a 3/4-ton pickup back and forth to Eugene 3 days a week. I made it a half a term. Mm. Yeah.
Because there was no LCC here at the time.
No, well, there was LCC
but
here.
But not that program.
Yeah, and I had to be able to schedule studio time, and that was at a premium, so I couldn't just show up and, if I scheduled time, it was not going to be the day or time when I was there already. So
I'm guessing before you got to Coast Radio, and I
back when I was young, dumb, and stupid.
Yeah. You probably had a few different jobs before you got to this? What were just names of jobs that kind of?
Well, I also love to cook. So I worked at Size Burgers, which was in the Coldwell Banker Coast Real Estate office now. I worked at Size Burgers there. I worked at Windward Inn, and I managed a kitchen. And for time later on, I was a dining room manager, bar manager. I worked at Moe's. That's where I met my bride. I was the assistant manager at Moe's, and my bride was a dishwasher there. She had just graduated.
Fraternization.
Well, we didn't fraternize because I did ask her out at one point, and she goes, I don't go out with anybody I work with. And
so you quit?
No.
Oh.
No, I waited until she quit.
Okay.
That was over the summer, and she was going off to school in the fall, and we had a going-away party for her and a couple other kids that were going off to school. And I said, okay, so we're not co-workers anymore. I'll pick you up Saturday night. Our first date was the drive-in over where Miller Park is.
It wasn't a question.
It was not a question. It was,
yeah, I'll pick you up.
I'll pick you up. And we saw the Seven Voyages of Sinbad and Alien.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. And it was one of the last movies they showed at the drive-in theater.
So
I did that, and then I had the lost decade, what I call the lost decade. From about 84 to about 93, I was in the car business.
And then you met John Thompson.
I met John Thompson
years in
88 when he went on the air. Okay. As a matter of fact, at the time I was working at the Chevrolet dealership, and he sold us on advertising, and so I did our radio commercials. And we did the first, I think it was the first car of the day, we did it in the lunch hour. I think we just did it once a week.
Now, is that right where T.R. Hunter is, or the Chevy dealership?
No. Chevy dealership is where Mini Pet Mart is.
Okay. That's right.
And that other building just to the south of it. So.
Okay.
And I wound up going to Uncle Bud Chevrolet in Cottage Grove in 1990, and I was over there for just over a year because the recession kind of put the kibosh on that. And Uncle Bud was a casualty of that recession, so I came back home.
So who convinced you? Or was it you that convinced John, or did John convince you?
Oh, he had been hounding me for years. And I kept telling him, John, you can't afford me, can't afford me, can't afford me. And he called me at one point and said, hey, I really need someone. Well, this show here, it was called the Community Forum at the time. And he said, I really need somebody to do the Community Forum. And at that time, it was just once a month on a Thursday afternoon for an hour, hour and a half. And he was still in the old station at that time. And he also, at the same time, he also offered me a part-time gig. I could do Saturday mornings. So that started in 1998, I think it was. And I was doing Saturday mornings, but that's when the station, before it was automated. On Saturdays, I'd have to go in at
carts.
5 o'clock. Yeah, we had carts, CDs, big reel-to-reel machine, and turntable.
Yeah. Yeah. You actually had to work at it more than you do now.
Oh, man, yeah. And I'd have to go at 5 o'clock in the morning just like, well, everybody else did at that time. They'd put the radio station on the air at 5, and I was there until 9 o'clock on Saturday mornings. I got one Saturday off a month, and I remember for some reason I was up really early, and I got in the car and turned the radio on, and there's dead air. And I thought, what's up with that? And so I just went straight to the station, charged up the steps, opened the door. The guy that was supposed to fill in for me on that one Saturday, he didn't show up.
Mm.
And I got the station on the air, got the music started, but I never once cracked a mic. I wasn't going to say, hey, it's me. I didn't want anybody to know. They'd think it was me that overslept. Instead, and I won't say his name on him also, he had a little confusion as to who was working that day.
Oh, so. Yeah.
And then January 2001, John called me because I had put him off and said, no, I can't do it. And he said, okay, my news director's leaving, Paul Noel. And he said, I need a news director, which is about a half-time job, and you can do some sales, which is, he said, a half-time job. Well,
they were both full-time jobs, though, weren't they?
Oh, you know. But he made that offer, and I was sitting in the car on the cell phone. Yeah, they had cell phones in 2001, kids. It was not an iPhone. And I'm on the phone driving, and my wife was next to me, and I explained to her what was going on, and I said, what do you think? And she said, do it. And so I told him yes, and at the time I was working at Able Insurance Agency. I was an agent. And so I put my notice in there, started February 1st, 2001. And along the way, I can vividly remember 9/11 later that year and a lot of other things along the way. But that was also right after they'd moved into this building. We're in now.
Transitioned over to here.
And everybody's been around here for a long time, still thinks that this is the new building. But, it, you know, you think about it, it's been here 25 years.
Wow. That's been a long time. So you kind of turned our town into a kind of a really wonderful thing over the years, bringing in, you know, multiple interviews, taking it when we turned on the second station into a two-day thing and two-hour thing.
Yeah. It was the community forum, and over years, you know, it was kind of difficult. It was a call-in originally. And it was really difficult to sustain the call-in. We wouldn't get phone calls on some things. And so I started working on, and I told John Thompson, I said, you know, I got some ideas. And so I penciled it all out, and I ran it by him. I said, here's what I want to do. I'm going to change the name to Our Town, because it's about Our Town. And I want to do smaller segments rather than do 90 minutes on one topic. Smaller segments. And I was still doing it all live at the time, too. Mm-hmm.
I think you were doing it live when I got here a little bit,
some of it. Yeah, occasionally I would be able to record something, but it was generally all live and I even went to twice a month for a while. That got really tough to hold up.
To sustain, yeah.
A couple notable memories from that. Y2K, before I'd come to work full time, but in 1999, Y2K was a big topic of conversation, and I was doing a show on Y2K. I think it was in December of 99, and we had a caller. I had no idea. I went over my head entirely, but she was drunk. And she started on a rant about, I'm sick of all this Y2K stuff, so finally I said, well, sorry you feel that way. Thanks for calling. And it was only after the show that Calista Cates said, oh, what did you think about that drunk woman? I said, oh, I didn't even notice she was drunk, because I'm focused on my conversation right at that moment. Another one, it's an interesting one.
I thought you were going to tell me it was Calista Cates.
No. You know. Calista was producing it. And I had another one several years later. It's probably about 08, 09, because my youngest daughter was a senior in high school. And I was doing a program on youth driving. And you've done a few of these, you know, like they do the car crashes in the parking lot of the high school and all that. We were talking about young drivers, and Calista is in the hallway waving her hands and jumping up and down. And I'm really, really distracting. And so we went to commercial, and I said, what are you doing? I'm trying to have a show here. Hope's on the phone, my daughter. She just got in a wreck. That's what we were talking about with teen drivers. So I picked up a phone during the commercial. And I said, all right, where are you at? I'll be right there. And so Calista finished the show for me. But that's why she was jumping around. I got down there. Hope had actually been listening to the show. And she drove a route that she didn't normally drive. And apparently she wasn't paying enough attention. And she pulled out in front of somebody. Nobody was injured, but the car door was caved in.
Oh, my. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, there's probably many, many notable things that we could talk about over your career there. I don't know if you have any specific things that you want to bring out, but there came a point when you said, maybe I want to do something different.
Yeah, it's about 8.5 years ago, and I just felt like I was getting burnt out, and I talked to some folks, and I had an opportunity to go to work for them, and I left John. I think John cried for 6 months. And I went to work at Roby's, and I wound up, after 4 years, I had a stroke. I continued to do sports the whole time, and through COVID, went through that, and it was in 2021, in March, they were doing spring football because of COVID, and it was late March. I'm on the air doing a football game on Friday night. I'm having a hard time getting words out. And Randy Paredes and I were doing it together, and he and I always had a running joke. We'd tangle our words up. Oh, I guess I'm having a stroke. I can't talk right. Didn't think anything else of it. Went home that night, got up the next morning, and went to work, and I was stumbling, and I could tell something was off. So I drove myself to the hospital, which I do not recommend doing that.
Yeah, they don't recommend that either.
No. Don't do as I do. Do as I say. Yeah. I only spent one night in intensive care, but it was not a serious stroke, but it was a good 2 years before. I kept thinking, you know, that Monday when they let me out of the hospital, they had scheduled one more football game for that following Friday. I was bound and determined I was going to do that. My wife basically said, if you do, I'm going to put you back in the hospital.
Hmm. But, probably the mental ward, though, at that point, right?
No, I would have been bruised.
Yep. no, that kind of.
But she convinced me, and my daughters convinced me that no. So I called John and said, I don't think I'm going to make it. Yeah. Yeah. Which I don't. It wouldn't have worked out. I was not.
You're not able.
Yeah. And I had some heart issues a year ago, but I was talking to John Thompson the day before I retired here a couple weeks ago, or last week, and he said, you know, Bob, you're watching you. You're probably in the best health you've been in 15 years. And I said, you know, I feel the best I have in 15 years, so it's a good time to retire.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we knew it was a long period there, but you seem to have bounced back very well. I mean, it's taken some effort on your part.
I still drag my left leg and my left hand. I don't have as much control over it, but that's really about it. And when I get tired, I get tired.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah. Watch your cholesterol, folks.
Yeah, really. So what's on the horizon?
What's on the horizon is we're going to just stick around home and go on some adventures. We had an Alaska cruise scheduled before I decided to retire. And so that worked out just great.
Yeah. It's coming up soon.
Yes, yeah, that's right. We're leaving town just a few days. I'm going to be gone for a week. And so we got a travel trailer. We're going to do a little camping and haven't been able to do much of that the last couple of years. But yeah.
Well, I want to personally thank you for everything you've done. I mean, you've helped me out a lot over the years. You know, you're quitting. Your quitting was a big help to me.
Yeah.
And I think I know we told the story probably to other people, but I don't know if we ever told it on the air, was that the day I told my ex that I wanted a divorce, you called me on the phone and said, John's going to be calling you in a few minutes.
Yeah.
And sure enough.
Yes, because that was even before I told John I was leaving.
Right.
That was back in, 8 years ago. It was 2017. And you had been here before and moved back to Nashville.
I was actually still on the air here
in
the afternoons.
I tell that to people sometimes. And he was doing it from his closet in Nashville, Tennessee. And pretty interesting what you can do with digital technology. Yeah.
But it was interesting. I don't remember. Do you remember what day of the month you told John that you were retiring the first time?
It was
the 7th or 8th of April, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was early April.
Because John told me, I said, well, when do I have to be there? And he said, you got 3 weeks.
Yeah, May 1st.
May 1st. I actually got here on the 27th.
Yeah.
So I was.
Yeah. And it was great because you went back here and you wound up with a wonderful bride out of it.
Yes, I did. Yeah. I absolutely. Yeah. This was the best thing that could have happened to me. Yeah. So I appreciate that part of it. But also just, you know, your efforts, you know, keeping pace and getting stories and stuff like that, still doing all that stuff and helping out in our town, you know, now and then. So that's.
And, you know, Wayne Sharp was the same way and Calista was the same way as well. Any of us who have been around here for a long time, and you're that way, this way also, but we all, it's not a job.
No.
It's not a job, but we are all invested in it heavily.
Yeah.
And one time, John made a comment about, well, everybody acts like owners.
That's good, though. You want a group of people that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And he meant it that way, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, again, appreciate all you've done.
Yeah.
Hope you have many, many years of active retirement.
Me, too.
Yeah. I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I got a lot of hedges to trim and lawn to mow. Yeah.
Now, you're having a get-together. Is that something open to the public? Or
yeah,
is that,
okay. Yeah. Well, I'm not having it.
Well, someone's having it for you.
Yeah.
But tell everybody where it is and when.
Sunday on the 7th, this coming Sunday, at Westlane Fire and EMS Authority, Main Station, just across from Mini Pet Mart on Highway 101. I spent 27 years as a volunteer firefighter. Started off with City of...
We didn't really talk about that.
No,
did
we didn't. I started in 1977 when I got the service with Florence Fire Department. And all the way through, it was about 99 that the city and the rural fire district combined operations and wound up with what we have now, the size of Fire and EMS Authority. But we're going to be in the training room upstairs from 1 to 3 on Sunday the 7th. And that's going to be an open house, and people are welcome to stop by and love to see all the people. It's very gratifying to run into people and have them comment. I'm sure you run into the same thing. People will say, hey, I really like listening to you. It just makes my day. Really.
Well, I can't tell you how many times I said it's great to hear Bob back on the radio.
I've heard that a lot of times.
Yeah. So, yeah.
My wife always turns it off, though. She says, I have to listen to you in person.
Yeah, well. Well, hopefully now and then you'll come back and do some fun stuff with us.
Well, I might, radio auction coming up in February. That's
okay. Well, maybe at least that one, yeah. Because I know you love getting in there and getting people to bid on stuff.
I love working the phones on the radio auction because I get to talk to people who call in and listen. I always get a bid number list so I can identify people, and
right.
I call them by
call
name.
Call my name, yeah.
And they appreciate that. They really do. So.
Well, again, thank you for all your time here. Appreciate it, and good luck.
All right. Same to you.
Thanks.
Carry on.
All right. Coming up next is Mr. Graham Ross with the Culinary Institute. We'll talk food on this edition of Our Town.